Gary Bettman just joining us in our broadcast location. Gord Stelic, Todd Olushko here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
You guys are cheating. You have a space heater.
I can feel it. But they're taking it out when you leave. That's the problem.
It's just I didn't need it. I don't even have a coat on.
Gary, it's radio. It's theater of the mind.
I see. And how's your mind today?
My mind is working. I get one of those snazzy 100th anniversary Centennial Classic sweaters.
We can get you
one. Okay, okay.
Really?
What else? Todd, you want one?
Well, I wouldn't mind one. I don't think they have a size for me, though. That's the problem.
Talk to Frank Brown.
I've got my parking receipt as well. $30. Anyway.
Talk to MLSE. Hey, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. And I wonder, what does the NHL commissioner do New Year's Eve? I was looking with Anderson Cooper and that. Were you there at Times Square? Or what's
I was here.
Okay.
I was celebrating here. My family, my kids, their spouses, my grandkids were all here. We went to a little party that we had on the grounds with Brian Adams entertaining.
Yeah, I heard that.
And then I went to sleep. Today's a work day.
Do you guys do the skate?
I don't do the skate. No, we like to leave it for the locals to do it, for the teams, the families of the teams, sponsors. We try not to impose ourselves on the celebration that comes along with the outdoor games.
So 3 years ago, we're in Ann Arbor. I think I saw your car coming, skidding down the highway, kind of like a presidential thing arriving.
Well,
I mean, it was
not true at all.
Well, I just
we were in an SUV like everybody else,
like Criminal Minds,
like cruising down. That was a fun day.
Yeah, snow. I just mean it was something I'll never forget.
But you know, this notion of a motorcade, you give people the wrong impression.
I'm just envious.
No,
I was part of the chilling.
I wasn't in a motorcade.
What about today? When you arrive here today and you take a look around, I mean, that was one of the bigger events. This one a little bit different the past 2 days. What's your take on this as far as outdoor games go?
You know, you come to the heartland of hockey in Toronto and you see a massive celebration of our game, starting our centennial 100-year celebration today, 2017, 100 years of NHL hockey. But what was great, you had the alumni game, and it was well attended. And then if you go to the pregame and you see what's in there is part of the truck tour, the fan arena that we're going to be taking to all of our markets. It's interactive. It's great. There are literally tens of thousands of people outside the stadium right now celebrating the game and the day. And that's what it's all about because, you know, people in Toronto love hockey. And so what better way to start the new year than with a celebration of our game in an outdoor stadium?
Gary, just as a fan of the game and you take your commissioner hat off, what's one of the favorite things you like about these outdoor games?
It takes you mentally back to the roots of the game, right? You think about skating on frozen ponds or outdoor rinks in the elements. It's a real winter feel good. But also the number of people that come together. We're used to playing in facilities or give or take around 20,000. Here you bring people together in large numbers. They're braving the elements. They're celebrating the game. They're here to enjoy a unique experience, which is why these games, when you attend them, they never get old. I mean, I know some of your colleagues write, oh, so many games, and this will, I think, be our 20th, but there's a reason that almost 1,000,001 people have attended these games, and they can't get enough of them. When you attend one of these, there's a buzz, there's a vibe, there's an emotion that really captures the imagination and really even elevates what is a great game to another level, because I think more than any other sport, this event has become unique and special.
NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman with Gord Stelic, Todd Olushko on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I seriously have liked the evolution about your appreciation of hockey in Canada, that the perception was, geez, Clarence Campbell used to be in Montreal, then John Ziegler was in New York, and they're New York guys and American teams and all that. And then whether it was the Rocket Richard funeral, whether it was a lot of things about the appreciation about why it's special here.
You know, the appreciation has always been there. The fact that the coverage and the characterizations may not have matched the reality isn't anything that I can do about it. Listen, I'm the guy who loves going to Calgary and Edmonton in January when it's as cold as humanly possible, because you feel the warmth that you get when you come inside the game on a Saturday night when a community gets together to celebrate our sport. You know, I've always known and appreciated that hockey is the heart and soul of Canada, and Canada is the heart and soul of hockey. There's never been any question about that. And by the way, you don't get to be 100 years old if you don't respect your history, your heritage, your tradition. And that's what this game is all about.
So with that being said, I mean, there's other cities that would probably love an outdoor game. Is there any specific cities right now that you're looking at that you think deserves it or basically wants to have one now?
You know, everybody wants them.
Of course.
You know, they even want them in South Florida. Okay. Although we did do one in Los Angeles, but I don't think the weather is quite as comparable. The fact of the matter is teams can't get enough of these, our fans can't get enough of these, and we look to be somewhat sensible and opportunistic, going to places we haven't been, going back to places we haven't been in a while, looking for matchups that will make sense. I mean, like today, having Detroit and Toronto play, what a special matchup. I think this is the first time we've actually had a rematch of two teams,
yep.
of a home and home, yep. so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to, you know, stadiums aren't always available at certain times. There's a good reason to go to one place in a particular year because they're celebrating something or another. To be here in Toronto to start the start of our centennial and the Leafs centennial, 125-year celebration of the Stanley Cup, 150-year celebration of the Confederation of Canada. Where else should we be today?
Well, you know your history. The alumni game, that was my era. Five teams in the Norris Division, four made it, okay? We dined out on that forever.
Yes, you did.
Going to be 31 teams next year, and probably the NHL now is the most difficult to make the playoffs. And I'm not trying to get the Leafs in. I'm just saying, is there a bit of a move or a sense now that you may revisit that at the governor's level?
None whatsoever. I know there's been some speculation about that on a slow media day, but none whatsoever. We think because it's so difficult to make the playoffs, that's exactly what you want from your regular season, particularly with the races, for the most part, that go down to the wire. What we have is a system where all of our teams can afford to be competitive. Most are until the virtual end of the regular season. And as we all know, once the playoffs start, anything can happen. That's the way we like it. And why dilute it? We've got a great thing going. It's working very, very well. Why change for the sake of change?
Gary, I just wanted to switch gears a little bit. I just want to dive into, at the Board of Governor meetings in Palm Beach 3 weeks ago, the owners expressed like a negative sentiment towards the participation in 2018 in Pyeongchang. And as we know, one of the biggest roadblocks was the fact that the IOC didn't want to cover the cost of travel, insurance, accommodations, and such. But the IOC has since changed their heart when it comes to that. So to that, what needs to happen now so you're in a position to go back and feel confident to the board with having something good to say to them?
I'm really glad you asked me that question. What we had been saying all along, when the International Olympic Committee said we're not going to cover the costs of travel and insurance and all the other things that they had covered for the last five Olympics, our position was, listen, we don't know that we're coming at all, but there's no point in even having a conversation if you're not going to cover those things. I'm not exactly sure that they're now being covered. There seems to be a little bit of looseness as to who's covering what, maybe, and what's being paid. But the bigger issue is, I think the governors, the teams, find going to the Olympics terribly disruptive, particularly when you're halfway around the world. I'm not talking about an Olympics in Vancouver or Salt Lake City, but when you're halfway around the world in time zones that cause games coming back at weird times, and we shut down for virtually 3 weeks, the season loses its momentum. We have to play a compressed schedule. Teams come back from the Olympic break, some very well rested, some all banged up because they had a lot of players at the Olympics. There isn't a lot of enthusiasm because of the disruption about doing it. We've had discussions with the IOC, with the IIHF, with the Players Association, and absent a compelling reason that makes this make more sense than it has in the past, I'm not sure that there's much appetite for continuing something that has been, you know, again, just to pick one word, very disruptive. That's two words. But
so Todd basically saying the perception is they've taken away excuses, but you're saying it really hasn't moved the pea very much.
No. Yeah. They first of all, if they're saying to us, well, we don't want to pay your expenses anymore, well, then how much could they value our participation if that was their initial position?
Yeah. I've got to ask, I think you can handle this because on behalf of yesterday, guys at the alumni game.
You know, it's really hot in here from that heater.
I know. The taxi. Yeah. Hey, wait.
I'm just going to strip down.
We're going to brave. We're braving the elements here.
You wanted this nice sweater. This sweater's roasting me with the heater.
Yeah. So here's yesterday, the alumni game. Okay. The fact is that the Dino Ciccarelli slap shot. Okay. Now, the Leafs, their president's on the Red Wing alumni team. I have to believe there's a bylaw. The commissioner is the only guy that can possibly review this a day later about this incredible injustice. Have you made a decision?
You know what? Alumni games are all about fun. Let's not take them seriously. Let's respect the great former athletes who you know, put on the equipment, get back on the ice, probably are very sore for two or three days afterwards. But it's all about having a good time and to show respect for these incredible players and how much they've given to the game. And for fans, it's a walk down memory lane.
What did you think of Palmatier's save on Holstrom Armstrong?
Unbelievable. You know?
63 years old, right? Is that right?
He's got a 35-year shutout streak. He said that with two games. So he's thrilled about that.
I hope he's okay today.
Yeah, that's right. That's
a lot
right.
of bags of ice in the body.
That. Hey, always appreciate you coming by, making time, and like we said, very different than the cold one 3 years ago and that, and so it's nice. We look forward to a perfect day, perfect weather, and congratulations on the success of these, and hey, Happy New Year. Wish you all the best. Okay?
Thank you. Happy New Year to
Thanks,
you guys,
Gary.
Too, and to all your listeners. Should be a great day and a great year.
Thanks very much.
Thanks.